Speaker Greg Hasselhoff, and hopefully you're all aware that he is our chaplain and that he's from the great state of Texas and that he has a lovely family with his wife Jen and their two daughters Ellie and Molly. So I don't think I need to spend too much time on that sort of introduction. But instead, I just want to share with you all my first experience with Greg. Last semester, I had the honor and blessing of being part of one of the student committees that helped to interview for the chaplain. And during Greg's interview, there was an energy in the room that wasn't present in any of the other interviews. And that's not because any of the other candidates weren't godly or competent or passionate about Asbury. They were all of those things. But with Greg, as we sat, our group of students, with him, and we shared with him our passion for the Lord and our passion for this campus and how we wanted to see God work here. And then he shared with us his passion for missions and his passion to see college students transformed by the grace of God. It was exciting. We connected with him in a way that we hadn't connected with anyone else. He understood us, and we understood him, and it was exciting to see his heart. So when it was announced that Greg had been chosen for our chaplain, I was very excited. And now as I've gotten a chance to get to know him more and to work with him more, I honestly believe that Greg's presence here at Asbury is a testimony to God's faithfulness and provision and goodness to us here in Wilmore, and I'm very thankful to have him here, and I think that you all are too. So let's just welcome him this morning as he comes to speak to us.
Thanks, Kelsey. You're fantastic. Thanks, Kelsey. And that was such a big deal to me because when I was going through that process of just listening to God, one of my big questions was, who are Asbury College students right now? And so those interviews were a major part of God giving me direction. Kelsey, thanks for your crew leading us in worship and for the bell choir. We just appreciate y'all this morning. I have to tell you a quick funny story. I was just in this TV lab thing a couple of nights ago, and so it reminded me there was this little spoof on my name. And you can imagine. So yesterday, I mean, this, it just cracks me up. Yesterday, I got this phone call, and I look at it, you know, and it's one of these Kentucky numbers, but I don't know who it is, and I just have to start answering those. And so I'm like, hello, and they said, is David there? I was like, no. And she said, are you sure that David's not there? I'm like, no, who are you calling for? She said, David Hasselhoff? And I said, no, this is Greg Hasselhoff. She said, oh, I'm not sure why I called you that. I said, I think I know. And she never really got it. She's just like, oh, I don't know why I called you that. Maybe there's someone just a little more famous. And the funny thing is I watch America's Got Talent. I'm like, why did he get so famous? You know, where did that talent come from? So it happens all the time. I mean, it is funny what comes out of people's mouths. Newsweek this week, I guess they ran out of, they had some yellow ink they needed to get rid of. In the economic crisis of the last couple of weeks, it says, the bright side. And I thought, is this denial? In Texas, we say that denial is not just a river in Egypt. I turned on the news on Wednesday night. It's one of these little rituals that I like. And Brian Williams said, yesterday was a good day. Today was a bad day, a very bad day. And if you're a news watcher, you've caught a lot of that in the last couple of weeks. But can you imagine the economy dictating your well-being? Can you imagine the up and down of the Dow Jones in a five-day week determining your attitude? Now, I know and suspect that most of you guys are not big in the stock market. I did kind of stumble onto something in the Res Life office the other day and discovered that there's actually some stock that's owned by some Res Halls. And I kind of started scrolling through there. I'm like, the women of Glide Crawford own stock in Kay's Jewelers. Did you know that? I was like, this is interesting. I kept going down the list. Women of Kresge. This one was real interesting. The Office. I didn't know you could get stock in a TV show. The Men of Johnson, Sony, and ESPN. They're diversified. Trustees just kept it simple. ESPN2. You know, Aldersgate, a little level up. Sharper image. So, I know you guys keep in touch with what's happening. But this magazine, this cover, the news on Wednesday night, Wall Street does not shape your attitude, but our real question is, what does shape our attitude? And has there been reshaping going on in your soul, even just this week, the past few days? Wall Street doesn't do much for my soul either, but I ask myself the question this week, what causes erraticness in my soul? And just last Sunday, I was finishing this great weekend of my family actually having relaxing time together, and didn't feel like the weekend flew by. And we were in the kitchen on Sunday. We were cooking, getting ready for a couple of friends to come over. And all of a sudden, I realized that I wasn't totally engaged in this conversation with my wife. I kind of realized that this fun of getting something ready for dinner, I wasn't really into it and absorbing it. And started poking and saying, what? There's anxiety going in me. And I was scared about today. That's what was happening. I had this big weight and this block that was just sitting in my heart with some anxiety, a lot of anxiety. And this kind of went on for hours. And sometimes you just go, where does that come from? This erraticness that we have to deal with. And as it got dark that night, I walked outside and all of a sudden just had it lifted, and there was this peace. It was really like God was speaking what he says in Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. There's nothing that I've called you to that I will not equip you for. But what causes that in us? The Lord gave me two clear directions for this morning. And the first direction is that we need a chance to pray together. We don't get that real often in chapel in our morning time. And so we have to have places where we can respond to the Spirit of God that is at work to shape us. And maybe he's been stirring something in you this week, and you really never had the space to sit still and respond to it. Maybe chapel this morning is your first time to respond to something that has been moving in you for days. You have a very unique opportunity here in Hughes. This altar is a place, this physical altar gives you an opportunity that you really don't typically have in a classroom or in so many other places that you spend your time on campus. And so this morning, I want to give us space to pray. And the second clear direction that I had, that I sensed from the Lord, is to speak on Scripture, to talk a little bit about being shaped by Scripture. It's the first pillar of our Cornerstone Project. Scripture, holiness, stewardship, and mission, the four pillars. But of these four pillars, there's a primacy to Scripture and how it rises up for us. And so to grow in the quality of our spiritual vitality at Asbury College, we've committed to this project called Cornerstone. And the name comes from the simple reality and the strong reality that it's Christ Jesus that's our chief cornerstone. And so this morning I just want to talk first about the cornerstone of Scripture. And you know, it seems that very few people that I talk to spend as much time in Scripture as they would like. Very few people find themselves there. And we often end up saying, I should read my Bible more. I should read Scripture more. But you know what's strange? Saying I should read my Bible more, it doesn't seem to be that motivating. We don't typically seem to go from I should kind of statements to change in our behavior real quick. But what about the desire to be shaped by the Word of God? What about that desire for it to shape your attitude? That consistently drinking from this book could transform the erratic movements of your soul. That drinking from it could do that. Molly is our little 13-month-old girl. I'll never be ashamed of talking about my two little girls up here. So she is right here with her hungry hippo. And she's getting the help of Hungry Hippo to walk. But in the last 7 days, she hasn't needed the help of Hungry Hippo. She has been walking and just started walking across the room. And man, the milestone of walking is spectacular. You know, it's different than these other milestones. Like the milestone of the first tooth, you know, it's like they can bite you. So you're going, this one's not real exciting. But the milestone of walking is incredible. Do you remember what Chris C. said last Friday when he was talking about those orca whales? And he said, man, God loves me so much. I look at Molly walking, and that's what I get hit with. I'm like, Jesus makes beauty, and he loves me so much. And when I was watching her just a day or two ago, I sat there and Scripture came up in me as well. One of my favorites from Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's something in Scripture, in Isaiah 40, that takes us into a life that doesn't get moved by these erratic shakings of the soul. Is there a way of walking in the kingdom that's less erratic than what you've faced? A way of being shaped that doesn't send you on a spiritual roller coaster every day. Faith is something that is much more solid. It is so much more stable than feeling that shifts here and there. And Scripture solidifies faith. John Wesley addressed it so strongly when he said, oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo unius libri, a man of one book. Let me be a man of one book. Some of you are real familiar with the book that Steve Deneff wrote, Whatever Became of Holiness, because hundreds of you all read that book as we prepared for this school year. And something that Deneff said simply was, if this is the only book you're reading, put it down and read Scripture. How is your attitude shaped? Let's allow Scripture to speak to us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. I just want to read from that short passage for a moment. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Some of you that have been on summer teams in the past know this from the top of your heart. You're ready with it. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. One of the dominant roles of Scripture is to reveal to us the nature and the character and the person of Jesus. If you've ever had a skewed image of him because of another Christian, because of a particular church experience, and you bring that skewed image and set it before passages like Philippians 2, hold on to Philippians 2 and hear the truth of who Jesus is, and let Scripture shape you and draw you in to who he really is. Did you ever read about Christ and find that your attitude is simply transformed? That, as verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. And then you hear Matthew 11, when Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, and you get a deeper taste of what this attitude looks like and tastes like. And so I ask you guys, if Scripture is living and active, if it's sharper than any double-edged sword, if it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, if it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, can you say what it's done in you this week? Have you met Jesus there recently? If Scripture is alive, and if it is active in who you are. Almost everyone in this auditorium desires to hear from God. There's plenty of people that may have even never said a decisive yes to Jesus, but still desire to hear God speak. And Scripture is the most tangible access that we have to his voice. It is right here in front of us. It's the first means by which God speaks to the church, to the body of Christ. And it's the first means through which you can interpret what God is doing in your circumstances. Is come and look at those through the lens of Scripture. And it's one clear and decisive way that the Lord will grow your relationship with him. If you have prayed that prayer of, I want to know you more, Jesus. I want my intimacy to be deeper. I am hungry. I am thirsty. Scripture is a clear answer to that prayer. And Asbury's strong commitment to Scripture is seen in a statement of faith. We don't go and read that very frequently. But our statement of faith says that Scriptures of the Old and New Testament constitute the divinely inspired Word of God, and they are inerrant in the original writings, and that they are the final word of truth and life. I think there's something about you choosing to come here to a school that embraces that, and that's who we are. The second thing in the statement of faith, that all truth is a unity because it originates in God, and that God imparts it to man through his revelation in Jesus Christ, in the Scriptures, and in nature, is how we meet God. This is my junior year of college at Texas Tech University. And I was not a Christian. I was totally on the party scene. And I was surrounded by quite a few guys that were very serious about their walk with Jesus and very committed to it. And in September, because of being surrounded by them, something kind of weird happened to me, and I picked up my Bible, still totally on the party scene. But it was literally the beginning where I started, because I didn't know where else. I just started reading Genesis. And I started having this encounter with God that was unlike any church experience that I had had the first 20 years of my life. And the timing was very important, because that was September 1986. And at the end of October 1986, my 17-year-old brother, who was a senior in high school, died tragically. And it was much worse than the stock market losing 40%. And there was no magazine cover that could tell me to look on the brighter side, or my family to look on the brighter side. But I'd started reading Scripture, and there was this story of God that was bigger than the immediate pain that my family was going through. And God had begun to speak that to me, even though I was still somewhere short of saying yes to Jesus. And so I want to go back to just read a couple of those verses. In Philippians 2, 7 and 8, he made himself nothing, and he took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And you hear that character of Jesus in you may even grasp it more if you go from Philippians 2 to Hebrews 2, that he is a merciful and faithful high priest, and that he identifies with the temptations that happen in our lives. What shapes your attitude? Maybe 2 Timothy 3 really helps emphasize our strong need. Because it says all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, correction, rebuking, and training in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Does that totally shift? If you've ever not found improvement because you said, I should read more Scripture, how about the opportunity to set yourself before God breathing? upon you? Do you desire God to breathe life into you? And so as the band comes up to close us in a song and a time of us responding to the Holy Spirit, you may say yes to a way Jesus has been stirring in you this week. You may need to bow your knee for the first time, or you may need to bow your knee to something that you just haven't stopped to bow to. And so I want our closing to simply be the rest of this passage in Philippians 2 before the band sings for us. Verse 9, let Scripture shape you. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You're invited to respond. Would you stand as we close in singing?